spring gardening can be an exercise in patience, I think. You know, as you see those temperatures start rising, you see some green in the yard. Right now, lots of green in my yard. It's really tempting to plant lots of things right away. But as we may find out today, there are some seeds and plants that are happy to go in now, but a whole lot more that wouldn't be happy. Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Really pleased to have Melinda Myers back. Melinda, a Milwaukee-based garden expert. She's authored more than 20 books, including Minnesota and Wisconsin Month-by-Month Gardening. She also hosts Melinda's Garden Moments. And we always love it when she joins us. Melinda, it is always a pleasure.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a great way to end my week when we get to visit and chat with you and all your listeners.
And I want our listeners to have a chance to visit with you. So let me give the number. If you have a question for Melinda, please feel free to join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. You know, Melinda, especially when somebody's just starting out as a gardener, it's nice to have some plants that, you know, you don't need to know a whole lot about to be successful with. What are some great goof-proof, let's call them, plants for Wisconsin gardeners?
Well, if you're looking for perennials, things that come back every year, and a lot of people think those are much lower maintenance, and they are because you don't have to plant them, but they are living organisms, so you still have to take care of them. And, you know, hostas and daylilies fill people's yards, and they go, oh, there's so many out there. Well, the good thing is there's lots of variety, so you don't have to have the same one as your neighbor, and there's a reason so many people plant them. But there's a lot of other low-maintenance plants. One of my favorites is Willow Amsonia, and it's really gained a lot of popularity in the last 10 years, say. And the reasons I like it gets to be a good 3 feet tall and wide, very fine leaves, so narrow leaves, icy blue flowers in late spring and early summer. The leaves look great all summer. In fall, it just glows when it turns kind of a golden amber. And I even leave it stand in the garden for winter because those fine leaves just add kind of a light, airy texture against some of the seed heads we leave for the birds to eat. So Willow Amsonia takes full sun to part shade. Once established, very drought tolerant, but it will also take some moisture. So it's a really very adaptable plant. One that looks great in my garden right now is Bergenia, or it's also called pig squeak, because if you rub the leaves, they squeak like a pig. Yeah, I know. And, of course, I made all my students do that, you know, when we took class. You have to squeak it like a pig. But the leaves come out. They're big and green in the spring with white or pink flowers. They persist all summer, and in fall, they turn a wonderful kind of purpley bronze red. And in fact, this spring, I was looking in my yard, and I thought, what's back there that's bright red? And I had to walk out, and it was a Bergenia. The leaves were still beautiful when the snow finally melted. So I'm all about plants that give you year-round interest as well as being low maintenance and easy to care.
Pig squeak and Willow Ansonia. You know, I don't have either one.
Well, you'll have to add them to the list, and they won't require a whole lot of care on your part either. And then there's so many other things to choose from, but the key to success, as you know, Larry, is checking the tag and matching the growing conditions the plant prefers to the growing conditions that you have in your garden. Another easy one is catmint, non-spreading catmint like Walker's Low or Junior Walker. Full sun, hot, dry conditions, gray-green leaves, blue flowers all summer. If it gets floppy, haircut halfway through, and you're done. The bees love it, the butterflies love it, and you'll like it too.
Our guest today, Melinda Myers, great to have her with us, and great to have you listening in. And I'm so happy to see, as always, Melinda, lots of callers. One open line yet at 1-800-642-1234. But Richard in Oconomowoc called first, so let's go to Richard. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry and Melinda.
Morning.
Hi.
Hi. My wife and I are pretty avid vegetable gardeners, and we have two gardens in our backyard right now. And last year we had one garden that was completely eaten up by woodchucks. Is there anything in there that they won't go for?
No.
Exactly. I'm sorry to laugh.
They ate all the broccoli, the cauliflower, the cabbage, Brussels sprouts, peas.
I did battle with them at a garden I had when I was an extension agent, and it sounds like you've done battle with them too, Larry.
Oh, yes.
And the problem is, if you try to fence them out, you have to go 12 to 18 inches deep and to try to discourage them. They love everything. I mean, I would bait traps with lettuce and marigolds when I was at extension, and we worked with a pest control place to trap them and relocate them, but nobody wants them. So you may try scare tactics, but you've probably tried that. You know, they're probably used to you and look at you like you're crazy, thinking you'll keep them out. Again, if you did fencing, as I mentioned, going deep in the ground, you could try some of the repellents. I think there's a couple that have woodchucks on the label. I know Messina is an organic. They use a lot of herbs. I think they have a woodchuck formulation. It's Messina Animal Stopper. You might want to check that. Check the label before you spray anything on edibles or around edibles. There are some animal repellents that won't. You can't use near food crops, and some you can. And then it's just going to be trying to keep after it. I wish I had a great answer because yeah. they do a lot of damage very quickly. Not only they're burrowing under ornamental plants, but eating your vegetables. So, you know, if trenching is an option, you might try to get some hardware cloth buried. At least maybe discourage them. They'll go somewhere else to dine instead of your garden.
Yeah. If you bury them, if you bury the bury some hardware cloth down, but if you L it,
good point.
You know, so that they dig down, they hit the
portion sticking out that's parallel to the ground, so the baffle, kind of underground baffle, so to speak. Good suggestion.
But they're hard to. I have to. Some years back, I trapped 9 off my.
Wow.
100 foot long backyard over the course of a summer.
Yeah.
But you have no place to, you have to then say, where can you get rid of those? And you really can't put them anywhere without permission, and nobody is going to give you permission.
Yeah, so I feel your frustration, Richard, because I was the crazy woman. They would eat the flowers by the extension office, and I would be at night tending the garden, and I'd be running after, get away! I'm sure they all thought I was the crazy woman that they were wondering why I was hired by this organization. But I think try maybe the baffle system, the bending, the L-ing out the fencing so you don't have to go so deep, and maybe some ribbons or, try a variety of techniques that may be helpful, and then maybe also include some repellent. And if you do it before they start eating, it's usually more effective than once they get in the habit of dining on your food.
Yeah, I tell you, it is a very, very difficult process, a difficult thing to get rid of. I know when I need to get rid of woodchucks, I call Judith Sears Poisson, who's one of the woodchuck champions of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And woodchuck wrangler.
I've seen her lasso woodchucks.
Other duties as described.
Yes, exactly.
And as you mentioned, other duties. One of her other duties is to talk about the spring membership drive. And, of course, as we listen to, as you listen to us, as you listen to us talk with Melinda Myers and now Judith, I hope you'll think about contributing because, this is the last weekday of the drive. So give it WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And as always, Judith, we always need to hear from a certain number of people.
Right. And last hour we heard from 17 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Right now we have a goal of 30 pledges. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert. word about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general interest questions. Others specialize in lawns and trees and vegetables and native plants, all kinds of things. I hope you'll support this program where you do get so much garden information all year long. Support us with your pledge at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge really helps pay for the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. During this drive, you can ask for the 2015 Wisconsin Public Radio Artist Mug when you give $150 or more.
And this is the fourth mug in our annual Artist Mug series. It's designed by Nick Robleski, who's an award-winning woodcut artist from the Driftless region in Wisconsin. The artwork has kind of, I think I'd call it a peaceful scene of a couple of swans gliding through a starry night sky. So ask for your mug when you give $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Phone calls, emails, that deadline. And I have that meeting in half an hour. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they call on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you, or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well, then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
And here is how you do it. You pledge at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. That is the right amount.
It is. Sustaining members provide vital and stable support for WPR. If you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much for your ongoing support. If you're not a sustainer yet, why not become one right now?
Yeah, sure. As a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly deductions from your bank account or maybe from your credit card. And that support will automatically renew every year. Easy to set up at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And you'll feel pretty darn good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
You know, we heard from one donor who said, every day WPR brightens my mind, raises my spirit, and piques my curiosity. Another one said, WPR is the best deal ever.
Well, I love those comments. And I think those comments in relation to our program, the program is possible because of members like you. And if you haven't done your part yet, and if you feel the same way as those other WPR listeners, hey, now's the time to keep it going with your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear from a lot of first-time pledgers who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college and can finally afford to give. Or people turn 30 or maybe a different age and realize, hey, I think I'm a grown-up now. It's time to give to WPR.
Well, giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, of course, it's a great way to commemorate a new phase of your life. When we certainly encourage it. You decide the amount. Maybe it's $5 a month. That's an example that many first-time donors give. And then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. For some, that's $5 a month. For others, it's $100 or more a month.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source of information and entertainment going strong. So give right now, whatever amount is comfortable for you, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 28 more pledges in the next 40 minutes. Definitely a doable goal. As long as you make your pledge right now during the spring membership drive, it's so important.
And this pledge drive, you can ask for the fourth annual WPR Artist Mug designed by Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski. Beautiful design. Mug is made right here in the USA. It's yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, if you're not already a sustainer, think about becoming one right now. It's so easy to set up those convenient ongoing monthly donations. One less thing to worry about. They'll come out of your bank account or your credit card. Do that now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge is very important right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks for listening in to this edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with our Milwaukee-based garden expert, Melinda Myers. And it's always so much fun to have her be with us and talk about gardening. Lots of things that we can talk about, certainly. And you can join in. If you have a question, call us at 800-642-1234. I know Kaya in Stevens Point is online, so let's go to Kaya. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a question. I've had hosta throughout my yard for a good 10 years, and last year, towards the end of the summer, started having problems with grubs, and I'm looking for some on how to prevent that from happening.
When you, did you say grubs or slugs?
I think they were probably slugs.
Okay, sorry, couldn't...
Something short and slimy, you know, under the
okay.
foot of the leaves that came out in the evening.
Yep, yeah. Slugs.
Yep,
thank
slug.
You. I misunderstood you, so thank you. Yes, slugs. They like it cool, dark, and damp, often where our hostas grow in shady locations, as you say. They come out at night, they chew holes in the leaves, and look for a place to hide during the day. If you don't mind using chemicals, there's a safe and organic slug control, iron phosphate. I don't like the other slug baits because they're so toxic, but this is, I think it's rated organic. It's iron phosphate. The slugs eat it, and it's a stomach poison, and they slime away and die. But if a bird eats them, it won't hurt the bird or the toad that feeds on the poison slug. So that's good because they're helping us control them. If you rather do something under the counter, beer does work great.
Mm-hmm.
Beer in a shallow can.
I tried beer without great success.
Okay.
One of the things I like to do, a master gardener taught me the trick to empty half a bottle any way you choose and lay the bottle on the side. And the benefit here is when it rains, it doesn't dilute the beer, so you're not, you know, replacing it. And then you tuck the hose under the leaves of the hosta so your neighbors don't worry about you. You can also try trapping, you know, boards or anything, a couple of stones, so that when they're looking for that cool, dark, damp place to hide, they collect on that, flip it over,
right.
And then you can kill them any way you want. Some people will use an ammonia and water solution and spray the slugs and feel they have good luck. You know, I look for those that are, you sound like you have a good collection, though, but when you're adding new ones, maybe look for things like Innis Woods or a Bigfoot drinking gourd. Those with thicker leaves tend not to have as many slug problems.
Okay.
And the other thing to keep in mind is if you're trapping slugs and you're seeing a lot of damage, earwigs also cause the problem. And so earwigs are true insects, and so an insecticide, or you can trap those as well. You can use crumpled paper under a pot, and they'll collect in the crumples and then throw it quickly in a container of soapy water. They're fast, if you've ever tried to do that.
All right.
Yeah, so it might be, you might have two things going on. You might have slugs that you're reducing the population with your beer traps, and then you might also have the earwigs, so you might have two things feeding on them. But you might want to give the sold a Sluggo escargot. Check the active ingredients for the iron phosphate. I know many hosta growers that really feel they're getting good control with that product.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right. Well,
okay.
Great.
Best of luck.
Yeah. Thanks, Kaya, for calling. Appreciate it. Back to getting critters out of your yard, out of your garden. We had an email from Amy in Appleton. She uses rabbit blood meal.
Okay.
In a ring around the garden, and she's had pretty good. She says she's had pretty good luck keeping critters out. Her grandma says it smells like death. I must say that I can't remember ever smelling rabbit blood meal.
I haven't either, so interesting. Well, and you know, and Amy brings up a good point. There's a lot of these home remedies or these kind of more organic remedies, and anytime you try, whether it's a commercial or a homemade repellent, always monitor. Same with fencing. You know, those animals have all day to figure out how to eat your garden. We don't. And, you know, I had a garden one time. It was a plant a row for the hungry, and I think the raccoons undid the chicken wire and made a hole for all the other animals to come in and eat my vegetables. You know, it was very frustrating. So I feel the pain of our listeners, and I know I could tell you have experienced too, Larry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Jerry and Nina's had some experiences and has a question for you, I think. Jerry, hi. Thanks for calling.
My reason for calling is I'd like to know if you have less trouble with blight if you raise tomatoes in straw bales.
You know, one of the benefits of even just in a raised garden, last year I had a new garden area, and we did, I worked with Great Courses, and we just released a new video on edibles, and so I had some tomatoes in raised beds. Larry's the excellent straw bale gardener.
Yeah.
I'll let him answer that. And then I had some in ground, and I didn't get them staked and towered in time. And I'll tell you, the ones in the raised bed did great. So anytime you elevate your plants above the ground, whether it's a pot, whether it's the straw bale, or in a raised garden and you have good fresh soil that doesn't have disease organisms, you'll really improve.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had zero blight. Zero in my straw bales.
So are you considering straw bales for the first time, or are you an avid gardener, Jerry, straw bale gardener?
I'm talking about doing it for the first time.
Okay. Well, I you know, water is important. That was my lesson I learned. And Larry's got great success. I'm a good container gardener, good in-ground gardener. I'm going to do straw bales again and put that soaker hose in when I plant, so I'm sure to water thoroughly and often enough. I don't know what your secret is.
Yeah, and you need to start it with a little. You need to start with a little fertilizer, a granular fertilizer on top. You need, now is about the time you should be starting to get yourself a straw bale this weekend or two, and start watering those bales. And about every other day, you put like a half a cup of a fertilizer, high nitrogen fertilizer, for about 10 days. And you're going to, those bales really start working in about 10 days.
So the conditioning.
How far apart do you plant the tomatoes in straw bales?
Same as you would in the soil. You have to keep them apart. I mean, you don't want them right.
About one in the middle of each bale.
Yeah, or you can put one on each. It depends on the length of the bale. I've got them usually on either end, a couple on a bale.
And the other thing you can do is you can make a little trough between your tomatoes, put a little potting mix, and grow maybe some beets or something. So as your tomatoes are growing, you can harvest out beets. Do interplanting just like you could in the ground so you maximize your productivity from those straw bales, or some lettuce early in the season, so that by the time your tomatoes are getting big, you've already harvested out that short season plant.
I actually had some cucumbers growing out the side of the bale, and some what did I have? Squash, butternut squash, growing out the side of the bale, and the tomatoes were on the top.
Hmm.
So
a great way to space them. That's three dimensional. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, it worked really well. Really.
Thank
well.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm suddenly the straw bale guru here a little bit.
Sorry, Larry. You know?
But I've had so much fun with it. It's just been a lot of fun using straw bales, and it's not like I'm some great gardener, but I've enjoyed it. And frankly, I have not had disease problems, with my plants that were raised in the straw bale. So
Well, you're in a disease-free, relatively disease-free environment, starting with a fresh straw bale, and yep. you've got them above the ground. So it is, you know, and it elevates for easy access. I'll tell you, I love my raised bed.
Well, I, you know, like we were talking here a couple of weeks ago, and I had my cherry tomato plant. That one was right next to the steps going into the house from the garage. So, you know, every time you go by, you grab a handful, and there you go, a little snack.
And what a great snack to have, so you can afford to do that every time you walk in and out of the garage.
Ellie in West Dallas, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a huge gold flame bleeding heart by my front door on the north side of my house, and it was always huge, gave me flowers. 2 years ago, it's really struggled. It got about half size with maybe a couple of flowers, and then last year it barely got 6 inches tall with no flowers, obviously. And it did break ground, so it's coming back. And I don't know if I put more soil on there for grading away from the house or what its issue is.
Hmm.
Do you have any suggestions?
Okay,
is it
so
the age of the plant?
You said you did change the grade around the plant?
I may have. I'm wondering if I didn't. It did, in fact, do that, and so now it's buried too deeply.
Well, it's probably going to be okay, but check the drainage, because if you're moving the water away from the house, making sure it's not settling around that bleeding heart, you might be getting some root rot, and so you want to make sure that it's not staying too wet. And last year, being much wetter than we've had, you know, 2012 was a hot, dry summer, very droughty. Even if you watered, it's still not the same as when we have good rainfall. Last year, cooler, wetter, we saw a lot more disease problems. So keep an eye on it and check the moisture around the plant, just carefully digging and seeing, is that area staying wetter than the surrounding area or that up above? So even if you didn't bury the roots, maybe the water's coming to that direction. If so, it might be beneficial to lift and move it to another location or make sure that soil is draining properly. But I'd give it time to get up and grow. Good time to move those are as they're starting to decline at the end of their growing season, you know, like midsummer, if you do need to mm-hmm. move it. But I would give it a little time and see if with this drier conditions, check the soil moisture, and see how it comes back this year. And if necessary, I'd lift it, maybe amend the soil if you want to keep it there, or move it to a place where it's not so waterlogged, just in case that's the problem.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Ellie.
Ellie, good luck
with
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. And I always appreciate when Judith Sears Poisson stops by. And I see her pretty much every single day.
Lucky you.
I know. and especially it's important and great to see her during our spring membership drive, because she knows how to tell you to make a difference at Wisconsin Public Radio or for Wisconsin Public Radio by making a contribution. She knows that you are to call 888-202-2552. Or she will be sure to tell you to go to WPR.org and make your contribution there.
And I will also tell people that they can join you and me, Larry, in being supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Right.
We always give. And we are looking for 18 more pledges in the next 25 minutes. We can absolutely make that goal. We're making good progress, but this is a great time to make your donation. Support the programs you enjoy, like Garden Talk, at WPR.org, or, as Larry said, 888-202-2552.
You know, I've already learned something today from Melinda, and something that I'm going to try this year. I'm going to be planting some pig squeak.
And you just want to be able to say pig squeak.
I want to say pig squeak. I want it because I want to be able to show people how it works when they stop by by the front porch for maybe a cocktail after
hours.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nothing says a party like pig squeak.
That's exactly right. And if you've been, maybe you wrote that down, Bergonia, or pig squeak, or maybe you wrote down the willow Ansonia. I'm sure you've been enjoying this conversation with Melinda Myers. And I think this isn't a program is an example of the fun, interesting, useful conversations we have on this show.
It's so true. So please take a few minutes right now to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, you can get the fourth annual WPR Artist Mug when you donate $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you also get this beautiful mug.
And the mug is USA made. It features a design by award-winning Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski. It's a woodcut print, I love those, with two elegant swans soaring through a starry night sky. It's really lovely. Check out the design and ask for yours now when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state government, but listener contributions are the single largest source of our income.
Your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. It's really that simple. Now that you know how important listener support is to WPR, won't you make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Penny, thank you so much for that. And thank you if you've made your contribution. If not, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR. And your gift, maybe it's 10 bucks a month, maybe it's 15. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
We had a listener write in to say, I love people coming together in community to support WPR. That's such a great sentiment.
I certainly agree with that. Membership drives are a great time for you and for us to share our enthusiasm for the programs and the service that we all love. Join the community in celebrating WPR. Pledge now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Speaking of comments, here's a great comment from Crystal from Oshkosh. She says, I love WPR. I can listen whenever I want using the WPR app. How amazing is it to be gardening and listening to Garden Talk at the same time?
It is amazing.
It is.
It is very amazing. If you're listening, and obviously you are, take the step right now. Become a member. Your first, maybe it's a first-time donation, $5 a month. That makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone when you do it. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your WPR
like
listening.
That.
When you think about it, a dollar a day is really a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a can of soda or a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to, obviously, 30 bucks a month. You can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or like I would do on the credit card. Make your pledge right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for those 18 more pledges now in the next 20 minutes. Your gift right now helps keep us on track. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One pledge a minute. In this pledge drive, you can show your support for WPR and get the latest WPR artist mug. I will be getting it. It's a USA-made mug designed by Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski. Yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more at WPR.org or at 888 888- 202-252.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Maybe you can make today the day you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can make that increase right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now makes a big difference during this spring membership drive, so I hope you'll do it right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my friend and co-host for today, Melinda Myers, Milwaukee-based garden expert and the author of more than 20 books, including Minnesota and Wisconsin Month-by-Month Gardening. She's also the host of Melinda's Garden Moments. And Melinda, for those who haven't heard about Melinda's Garden Moments, talk about that for a bit, would you?
You bet. They're 1 minute segments. So if you remember when Mr. Food used to be on the air and he'd come on and give a tip, that's exactly what we kind of modeled it after. I would go and travel and people say, "Oh, we'd like you to come in and share some information." And it's a great way to give individual tips, very specific. So we do 34 new ones this year. We did a lot on trees and shrubs and edibles and flowers. And they air locally throughout the state, so check on my line, melindamyers.com, on my website, and it'll list the station in your area. We do audio tips with radio stations as well. So three times a week I have new tips coming out on anything from growing edibles to growing flowers, keeping your trees healthy, dealing with disease problems. And so it's been a fun way for me to try to reach out to gardeners. And then if we're not on in your area, visit my website, because we'll post them on my website after they air and they're broadcast on TV and radio, so you can listen and watch them later as well. So we'll go back and reference them. So if there's something from 3 years ago we did that you're interested in, you can click that up, watch the video, or listen to the audio tip. So they're short and to the point, so it works into all of our busy schedules and maybe our reduced attention span these days.
Well, it's a wonderful service that you're providing, Melinda, and I'm hoping that a lot of people go to it. I'm hoping.
I do, too. And the other thing, if people want to see me in person this Saturday, I'm going to be at Ebert's Greenhouse Village in Exonia. So bring your baggies with questions or be inspired by plants. It's that time of year. Is it a weed or is it a flower? I spend a lot of time looking at, you know, those mystery plants in the garden.
Well, Dolores of Kenosha is no mystery to us, and she's a gardening expert, I bet. She's got a question for you, though, so let's go there. Hi, Dolores.
Okay. Well, first I have a comment. Anybody who wants to do the straw bale gardens should get Joel Carson's book.
Yeah.
Yes, good point.
And go to his website, and he also, I don't know, it was just kind of weird, but I bought some. He also has helicopters that fly like kites.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they came from. But they're wonderful. But that's enough. If you're intrigued, you got to go on the site, buy the book, and check that out.
Great.
My question is, I planted some got them from Jung's, but they're smaller. They're not the big size.
Shrubs you're talking about now?
Shrubs. They're not the big size lilacs.
They're not whips. Oh, they're whips. Lilacs. They're a dwarf lilac?
Dwarf lilacs. So
okay.
I have like a circle where we had to take out an overgrown tree my son planted 30 years ago, which he got in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Arbor Day, right?
And so I have three of those, and they're budding out, and that they look nice. It was last spring. And then I also have two gold-tied forsythia, which are they're kind of more of a spreading. They only grow to 24 inches.
Like Bronx, maybe, forsythia that grows more on the ground, low-growing, kind of trailing almost? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they look good this year, and I just wonder, should I feed them?
Okay, so we got year-old plants.
Good question. Here's the deal, Dolores. One of the things research has found, if you wait a year after planting and do your fertilizing the next spring, you'll get the best value. So this is a good time, just as things are starting to grow, to feed trees and shrubs that need a nutrient boost. Now, we don't need to fertilize our trees and shrubs every year. Again, a year after you plant them, if you want to encourage growth, some of the flowering shrubs benefit from more regular fertilizing. But making sure your plants need it, because they get lots of nutrients, especially established trees and shrubs, from your lawn fertilization or if you're fertilizing the garden bed around them. So we often don't need to do additional fertilizing. But if you didn't fertilize at planting and you feel like you want to give them a little bit of a nudge, use a low nitrogen, slow release fertilizer. That way you'll promote slow, steady growth instead of a big burst of top growth. You want to keep the roots and tops in balance. So a year after planting is a great time to do it.
And thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Dolores. Let's give Pam a chance to join in from Kellogg. Pam, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. My son-in-law, a couple years ago, wanted to have rape beds, but didn't really want the expense. So he can get free tractor tires and has planted everything in tractor tires, and it helps with the hoeing and everything. But I kind of wonder if there might be something breaking down in them that might be harmful.
You know, tires were a big, huge, popular planting device when I was early in my career.
Yeah.
And the concern at that point was some of the cadmium from the wear, but I think that's not an issue anymore. You might want to talk to a tire manufacturer. I know they're using tires and shredding it and using it as mulch, and talking to some people who, where they've used them on playgrounds that first year with the fiberglass particles, can cause some itching and irritation, but those have been ground. I'm not aware, and I don't know if you've heard anything, I'm not aware of anything that's an issue in the tires, but that might be a good question for somebody selling the tires, just to make sure if there is any problem. The thing you may want to do is plant maybe a row of marigolds or some other flower that you're not eating and put any edibles on the inside. Even with the preserved lumber, where we were concerned with the arsenic, they were finding it was leaching into the soil, but it wasn't getting too far into the soil where the plants were growing. So I'm not aware of anything.
I haven't heard anything either.
I haven't either, and I know they've been used for years, so I think we would have heard something, but it never hurts to check.
Well, the other thing I wondered was if I lined some plastic bags in there, would that help?
It couldn't hurt. You know, the weed barriers are going to let the chemicals and things through, but using some kind of liner, as long as that liner is a safe product. But I think you're probably, how long have you been doing this, for a few years now?
Oh, my son-in-law has, but, you know, things we eat, we don't know exactly what causes cancer or anything.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, it wouldn't hurt to line them with something that you know is safe to line them and to keep that out. But I'm not aware of anything. I'm going to do some checking. If I find anything, I'll email Larry. But
it'd be interesting to know. Maybe, you know, Goodyear or one of the tire manufacturers,
yeah,
they probably have had this question come to them more than once.
I'm sure they have. So I would find out this, you know, go to the source, ask them. I'm sure they'll give you kind of the breakdown of what's in there. I'll do a little hunting, too, but I'd go right to the source. That's the safest thing to do.
Yeah. Thanks, Pam, for calling. Appreciate it. And Kim and Keel, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a question on Colorado potato beetles. I had a lot of them last year and was going crazy trying to get rid of them. And I just was wondering, I'm pretty sure they're going to come back again this year because I guess they stay in the soil. So what can I do early on, if there's anything I can do to try and prevent so many of them?
Well, one of the things is there is a product, a Bacillus thuringiensis, a bacteria, the strain that will take care of the larva of potato beetles. And you may have to go online to order it. I haven't seen it at many garden centers, but if you do BT for potato beetles, and that will give you at least some organic control. I'll never forget the caller that called in and said she uses her little mini vacuum and goes out and sucks them up with the vacuum and has great control. I keep driving around thinking I'm going to see her and I'm going to stop and say hello.
You know, I have stories from gardeners who, when they were kids, would hand-pick and throw them, well, back then in kerosene. But soapy water works a lot better, safer. Just send the kids out to throw them into a bucket of soapy water. So check out the BT4 potato beetles. Okay, it's just a certain strain that works on those. So the stuff, dipel and thuricide, works on caterpillars, but not on the potato beetle larvae. So you want to check that and see if you can get a hold of it. And then also just the physical removing. And I know it's putsy, but it's the safest option. And then any birds or anything else that's helping you control them can still dine on those while you're getting rid of the surplus in a bucket of soapy water.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling, Kim. Appreciate your call. You're never going to find a potato beetle at Judith Sears Poisson's home. I'm telling you that right now. She knows how to get rid of potato beetles.
I just don't grow potatoes. That's how I just nip it in the bud.
She nips it right in the bud. And we want to tell you what, we don't want to nip anything in the bud right now when it comes to the spring membership drive. We don't want to nip that in the bud. We want you to just think about giving right now at WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552, any amount.
Any amount, and put a little fertilizer onto the spring membership drive. I don't think we can have a pledge show during Garden Talk where fertilizing doesn't come up.
No, it always comes up.
Fertilize our budget. We're looking for 13 more pledges in the next 8 minutes or so. So please make your gift to support the WPR programs like Garden Talk that you enjoy and count on every day. Your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really makes a difference.
Did you know that Master Gardeners can get continuing credit for continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk? That just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is for listeners like you. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or whether you're a novice.
It's really true. We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions, whether it's about fruit trees, organic gardening, roses, native plants, or people that can cover every single topic. We cover it all. So apply some of that fertilizer to the program right now by making your pledge of support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added incentive today, we have something special during the spring membership drive. Our 2015 April WPR Artist Mug. It's designed by Nick Robleski, an award-winning woodcut printmaker from the Driftless region of Wisconsin.
These artist mugs are a wonderful tradition, and this year's mug really is lovely. It features two swans flying through a starry night sky, and it's yours when you give $12.50 a month. That comes out to $150 or more. Ask for your mug right now and show your support for WPR. Make that pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Bruce, thank you so much, and thank you if you've made your contribution. If you haven't, make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe it's $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month. Someone during the show contributed $100 a month just a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact. We appreciate and we count on any gift, be it $5 or $100 a month.
That's so true. Wisconsin legislators are busy planning the state budget for the next 2 years, and there is a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin public broadcasting. As proposed, the budget would result in a $3 million annual cut in state support for public broadcasting, and that funding has been essential to delivering programs throughout the state.
Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is working hard to address this challenge as the budget process goes forward, and listener support continues to be a vital part of our budget. Your donation is more important than ever. Please go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR. Make a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month, that's $1,200 a year, and provide an important piece of funding for the programs we all rely on.
You can make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Have you ever heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend or maybe listen to again? We were just talking about straw bale gardening earlier, and Joel Karsten has been a guest on the show several times. So people with questions can pull up those past shows and listen to the expert himself. With program notes on the website and audio archives, you can pass things like that on, and maybe you already do.
It's a great way to stay connected with people, passing on ideas, stories, and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family, I think, and with the world. So your donation keeps this connection going, and we need a few more of those contributions right now.
Those connections. We're looking for 11 more pledges in the next 3 or 4 minutes if we really stretch it. Make your gift right now to support the station you love.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Help us stay on track by making your contribution right now.
Pledge drives are important times to hear from new members. We've heard from 11 so far this hour, and that's wonderful. Are you a member yet? If you're not, take that step right now.
9 more contributions to go here in the next couple of minutes. Pledge drives are an important time to hear from new members. We make membership easy. Any amount you can give makes you a member. Only takes a few minutes to do it. So do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Seize the day. Pledge right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple minutes.
We are looking, where are we now?
9 more pledges.
9 more pledges in the next couple of minutes. You can help us right now. Pledge right now during our spring membership drive. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Joyce from East Troy gave today and said, I enjoy all of the programming on WPR. Well, thank you, Joyce. And this is your chance to join Joyce by making your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. So great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here on this edition of Garden Talk. We visit with Milwaukee-based garden expert Melinda Myers. Judith Sears Poisson, here she comes
again. I wandered
again.
Back
My
into
goodness
the studio.
Me. She wandered in.
And I just plopped myself down. Well, I'm not going to take up much time because I know people are anxious to talk with Melinda, but I just want to let everyone know we have a very exciting challenge for this half hour. The Wisconsin Master Gardener Association, great group of people, have put up $2,500 of a challenge pledge. They will match dollar for dollar every pledge this half hour up to $2,500. So we don't want to leave any of that generous offer on the table. So right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Help us meet that pledge.
Please help us meet that pledge. And if you have a question for Melinda Myers, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. Melinda, as always, great to have you with us. We had a Facebook question from Gina, who was looking for a good weed killer that's organic. Any ideas?
Well, if it's in your lawn, let's do organic lawn care. I think it was University of Wisconsin found that just one fertilization will help increase the vigor of your lawn and reduce your weeds by up to 50%. And, of course, I'm a huge fan of Milorganite because it's low nitrogen and slow release and Wisconsin-based. But whatever fertilizer you use, doing a Memorial Day, Labor Day, Halloween, or at least one application around Halloween is going to help reduce your weeds. Corn gluten is a pre-emergent that you can use in gardens, follow the label, but also in your lawn. It was introduced by Iowa, and Minnesota found if you do a spring and fall application, after 3 years, you can reduce your weeds by as much as 80%. Now, that's preventing, not killing, the existing ones. Then there's also a broadleaf weed killer. It's chelated iron, a form of iron, and the active ingredient is listed as HEDTA, H-E-D-T-A, or FEHEDTA, F-E-H-E-D-T-A. Whitney Farms is probably the most readily available out there, but you may have to go online. There are several different companies carrying it. And what happens is it's basically giving it an overdose, a toxic level of iron to the broadleaf, like the dandelion or the plantain or the creeping Charlie. But if it gets on the grass, it just makes it green. Now, that's for your lawn area. The problem when we get into our flower gardens is the weed and grass killers at work just burn the top off. So I guess it's not a problem, it's just a limitation. So basically you're just burning the tops off but not killing the roots. You need to protect your good plants so that it doesn't drift onto those and damage them as well. There has been some research also out of Ohio State University that found that mulching was just as effective as pre-emergence in the garden. So, you know, prepping your soil, mulching, it works really well. And a good friend of mine gave me this great strategy, Ray Greitens, just an amazing man. He would prep his garden, cover it with clear plastic for 2 weeks. That would get a lot of the annual weeds to sprout, lightly cultivate so he didn't bring up new weed seeds, plant his garden and mulch. So he warmed the soil, he pre-germinated a lot of the weeds and got rid of them. Doesn't control quack grass and it doesn't control ground ivy, but at least gives you a jump start on a lot of those annual weeds for your garden, and the mulch will help suppress them. So check out the chelated iron, the FEHEDTA or HEDTA, for broadleaf weeds in the lawn, and the corn gluten meal. Read and follow label directions because it will prevent good seeds as well as your weed seeds from germinating.
That's a really good information there. We had a Facebook question from Melinda, who was active gardener, loves calla lilies, but she says I found conflicting information about whether these great plants self-pollinate or if they have to cross-pollinate, and wondering if it's hard to become a master gardener in Wisconsin.
I'll start with the easy one, the master gardeners, and thank you, master gardeners, for supporting Garden Talk and all the outreach you do. I was lucky enough to start the program in Milwaukee County way back in the early 80s, and that group has grown and expanded and is doing great things like all the master gardeners in Wisconsin. So thank you all for your hard work. You go through some training, you meet some great people, you're connected with the university, so you get to know a lot of the specialists and the resources. It's a great opportunity. And then, in return, they ask you to volunteer and give back and share your passion and education. So it's mostly a commitment of time, but once you get started, the master gardeners I know are so passionate, and everyone says they have a great time volunteering. Right, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
Great time volunteering. So for the calla lilies, for them to bloom, you don't need, I'm not sure in terms of if you're looking to collect seed and start new plants, but the easiest way to propagate calla lilies is just they're tuberous stems, and so what they'll do is they'll put some offshoots on them, and you can also divide that tuberous stem kind of like you would a Irish potato, and making sure you have individual eyes on each piece. But once you grow them, you'll have a lot of offsets and you'll get more and more plants. So we don't need to worry about pollination to get flowers. Where we're concerned about pollination and fertilization is when we want to get fruit or seeds. You know, for example, apples need two. Most of them need two for you to get pollination and fruit to form. But for callas, we're growing for the flowers. I think they're self-fertile, but I'm not positive.
Yeah.
But if you're just worrying about the blooms, you know, enjoy the flowers. When you dig them up and store them for the winter indoors, because they're not hardy here, you'll find you have more than you started with.
There you go. And we have Joe in Milwaukee with a question as well. So let's go to Joe. Joe, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, good morning. My question is about straw bale farming. I'm wondering a less expensive fertilizer we could use, or the least expensive fertilizer we could use for the straw bales.
Well,
I know I'm not sure where you're. I know Joel recommends Milorganite as one of the options,
yeah.
But he lists several others. If you are just doing one bale and you don't want to invest in a huge bag, if that's what you're thinking, you might be able to find a gardening friend. You know, I always buy mine on the truckload sale and keep it in the garage until my daughter discovered it was good for her lawn, and now I'm always buying it. How does that work, right,
how
Larry?
How does that work?
I know. So if that's what you're thinking, I'm not sure the organics, like the manures and things like that, are going to be high nitrogen enough to really get the breakdown and the decomposition of the bale.
So you're going to need a higher nitrogen.
Yes, exactly. So I think you're going to want to make that investment or find someone who might be, you know, gardeners are pretty generous people. And, you know, if somebody has a couple bags of fertilizer, they'll probably share the, you know, if you're doing one bale, the few cups you're going to need every day, you know, to condition it. But the investment's important because conditioning as well as moisture once it's conditioned and the plants are in are key to success, I find.
Yeah, you really need to have that conditioning. And it does take 10 days, 2 weeks, but once it gets rolling, it is amazing. You stick your hand out on that bale after 10 days, and it is very, very warm if you've done things right. That's for sure.
And the other type of gardening, if straw bale hasn't worked or you're thinking, I want something a little different, lasagna gardening. We did a bed. It was incredible. Sheet composting, newspaper, green debris, you know, fall leaves, evergreen needles, a little bit of compost, some fertilizer, layered it up 24 inches deep, planted right away, and I had some of the best tomatoes growing. Conditioned, let one set over the year. Now it's ready. It's like rich compost and soil. It's ready to go for this spring. So, but give, you know, I think you'll be amazed that a little investment will go a long way with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look up lasagna gardening. We've talked about it on the show. Probably haven't talked about it lately as much as straw bale gardening is really. Had lots of questions about that and a lot of interest in it, but lasagna gardening, a wonderful way to go as well. And Joe, thanks again for calling. We had a Facebook question from Jennifer, who's looking for a hardy, aggressive ground cover for their front bed. The area gets sun until early afternoon, a bit too much sun for hostas. Apparently, they've tried that. We are in Pleasant Prairie in the southeast corner of the state. I was considering either creeping or woolly thyme or maybe creeping Jenny. Thoughts or better suggestions? I'd prefer foliage that isn't ordinary green, maybe, you know, like a purple gray or a blue or a chartreuse type, you know, those types of greens sort of. Flowering doesn't really matter to them.
Okay, thyme is an excellent for really sunny areas, but good drainage is key. So you want to make sure that that area is well drained. The other thing I found with thyme is in the spring, wait and be patient because sometimes you'll get some die back, but a lot of the stems will root along the way. So even if the main plant dies back, you'll have a lot of self-propagated layered plants and will fill in quickly. So good drainage, good sunlight for thyme. Creeping Jenny, I'm thinking is... She's talking about what I would know as golden moneywort or lismachia. There are some concerns of invasiveness in riparian woodlands, wet areas, but it's invasive by cutting. So if you're not near a natural waterway where pieces would break off and float down and infest another area, you'd be okay. And golden moneywort has a yellow foliage and really bright sun, a little more lime green. And what I've seen gardeners do that looked really cool is they'd use that as their low layer because it's ground hugging. And then they would plant other plants, maybe darker green, to really give like a two layer of ground cover. You might try sweet woodruff, wonderful fragrant flowers in May, kind of like mown hay, and it kind of wanders and weaves around the landscape, and that one works very well, too. There is our native pachysandra that's a little bit more, it's less refined than the Japanese pachysandra, so it's got a little different kind of gray-green look to it, a little more upright. Sedums are great. Make sure you get a ground cover type, lots of texture, some flowers. You might want to use a mix of sedums, so then you have different foliage textures and colors, and it looks really good. Sounds like you get enough sunlight there, and that's another nice one to try, too. So you could do almost like a tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
And then coral bells work well, too. And again, using a mix of them, so you get some nice texture and color difference. So coral bell, sedum, sweet woodruff, and then if you use the golden moneywort, consider two layers. The golden moneywort will fill in fast. Pretty easy to keep in control, but it will fill in quickly. So be prepared to pull it out where you don't want it.
And here's a great question, Facebook question from Betty Lou. Giving grandmas hand-painted pots for Mother's Day with flowers in them, but what do you put in those 8-inch pots? Would like she'd like something that is already, or you know, would she go with something already blooming or a bulb that will bloom this summer? What do you think?
You know, good question, and a lot of it depends on grandma. I'm one of those gardeners that loves the process, so I like to watch the bulbs sprout, start to grow, get into bloom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to see the whole process. But my mom was not that kind. My mom wasn't a gardener, so my mom was, I want the flower.
I want them now.
Exactly. So my mom was the one I would give something that most of the buds were open, but it still had some more flowers coming on throughout the season. And then buy something that's going to complement whatever that wonderful paint job you're doing. And look for things that are drought tolerant, because a small 8-inch pot, you know, isn't going to hold the moisture long. Succulents are huge right now. They're very drought tolerant. There's cool colors and shapes. So if grandma is more of the artistic that likes those, you know, modern geometric shapes or unusual things, a succulent may be good. If she likes blooms, you know, look for something maybe fragrant. You know, pop in maybe a heliotrope, wonderful
Ooh.
Fragrance, and they're great plants. Or a dragon wing begonia, one plant goes a long way. Or maybe even a Rex begonia if grandma likes a little challenge. The texture and the color of the leaves are great. So, you know, maybe take that pot to the garden center and work on picking out something that will complement the design, and then read the tag. The tags are full of good information, but look for things that may be drought tolerant or really picture grandma's personality and something that matches the way she likes to garden or enjoy flowers.
Well, that's really good advice. Melinda, it's always such a pleasure to have you with us. I really appreciate it, and we always look forward to your visits. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thanks to everyone who's pledging. I'm a member, too, because I believe this is an important resource we need to keep. So thank you for the opportunity, and thanks to everyone who's pledging.
Thank you. And as you listen and you want to learn some more about Melinda and what she's up to, go to melindamyers.com. A great place. And actually, we have a link to her place on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show as well. So you should find out some more about Melinda. If you don't know, you probably never will know enough about Melinda Myers.
And there are lots of great resources on her website. And Myers is M-Y-E-R-S.
That's exactly right. Judith Sears Poisson, our guest here now.
Ooh, I'm the guest.
She's the historian for Wisconsin Public Radio and has done a great history of of gardening and the garden movement here within the station itself.
And I hope people know, Larry, that you have endowed me with many talents and accomplishments that I do not have.
Well, you are a good historian, though.
I am a good historian.
You are a good historian.
Thank you.
I know that. And she knows, but she lives in the present, too. And she looks to the future as well. And as she lives in the present and looks in the future, she thinks, what do we need here at the Wisconsin Public Radio? What will we need in the future? Well, one thing we could use right now to help us in the future is your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And last hour, looking a bit to the past, we heard from 32 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges.
Made our goal.
We did make our goal.
And we have a kind of a new deal that's really quite nice, too.
It's very exciting. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. We are at about $1,200 right now. This generous match is from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give, but only in the next 8 minutes. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love, like Garden Talk. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Melinda Myers is such a wonderful guest, and she's had some really great information to share with us today. I really liked her comments about organic weed killers, for example. She had a lot of really good information there. And that's the kind of information I think you get on Garden Talk and other shows from 11 to 12:30 during the course of the week.
It's true. Now, take a few minutes to make this program and so many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge and get it doubled thanks to the Wisconsin Master Gardener Association at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we still have about $1,300.
Yes.
About $1,300. On the table yet, so we don't really want to lose that money. The membership drive, during it, you can choose the 2015 WPR Artist Mug for your pledge of $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. It's a USA-made mug with artwork by Nick Robleski from the Driftless region of Wisconsin. Your pledge supports this program. And you'll love this year's mug.
And your pledge will be doubled in the next 6 minutes or so by the Wisconsin Master Gardener Association. The coffee mug is really nice. It features a dreamy scene of two swans floating through a night sky. Really lovely. Check out the design. Ask for the mug. Make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I'm 21, my husband's 26, and we have a 2-year-old son and a 1-month-old son, and we absolutely refuse to have a television in our home. We just won't do it. We don't want to raise our children on television, but my husband is a news junkie, so we're constantly listening to it from 7 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, we listen to you guys every day.
Thanks to her, and thanks to you. If you've already pledged at WPR.org, that's wonderful. If you haven't, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support during this membership drive. And maybe your gift is 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And just a reminder, we have this wonderful dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 only for the next 5 minutes, thanks to the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. If you need to hear from your peers, your neighbors, your friends, your family members, maybe some of these will resonate with you. Patricia from Neshkoro says, WPR helps to keep me a lifelong learner. It's my only radio station, and I love it. Jan from Waukesha says, I love listening to Garden Talk. I hope you have a program on growing tomatoes again this year. We'll do our best on that, Jan. And Leslie from Appleton says, I listen to WPR 24/7. If I'm home or in the car, it's on. I listen to everything you have on offer, music, news, and talk shows. I can't even imagine my life without WPR. Well, if any or all of those sound like reasons that you listen to WPR, make them a reason to give right now. Help us meet this challenge, Grant. You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've raised $1,400,
yes.
So that means we've got a $2,800 during this,
yes,
show, during this half hour. Let's add that. Boy, we just need another $1,100,
yep,
in contributions to make it. So any amount, actually a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, any amount. Our Wisconsin Master Gardeners have been so generous over the years, and it's just wonderful. But your gift of $50, it turns into $100, or if you're contributing $100, it turns into $200. Do it right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Many of the things you pay for improve your quality of life, like good coffee or locally brewed beer, dinner out with friends, or a fun activity with your kids.
Your WPR listening is just like those other things that are worth paying for. It makes your life richer. So please support what's important to you with your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. $1,500.
Yes.
We got $1,000 to go.
$1,000 to go in the next 4 minutes or so. You can help us do it. If WPR is personally important to you, it's also important that everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
So if you become a member with a contribution, maybe it's $5 or $10 a month, and you're not only doing some good for yourself, you're also doing something good for the whole community. Do it now at WPR.org or by phoning 888 888- 202-2552.
Maybe you're saying to yourself, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today is your last chance to pledge your support for this show during this membership drive.
Don't delay. You can join the community of people who come together to make great radio. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We have to go away here in just a few seconds now. I want to thank you so much if you've already contributed. And if you haven't contributed yet, there's still a chance for you to double your money with a great contribution. Do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Again, that's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.